This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Governor Pat McCrory vetoed a law passed yesterday by the legislature that allows magistrates to refuse to perform marriages on religious grounds. The veto is only the governor's fourth since he took office in 2013. Do GOP lawmakers have enough votes to override the veto? And what would that mean for the governor? And the Senate took up a measure to extend the waiting period for an abortion from 24 to 72 hours. If that goes to the governor's desk, will he again use his veto power? And at the national level, the clock is ticking on the renewal of the Patriot Act. Republican lawmakers disagree on its usefulness and its constitutionality. And the field of presidential hopefuls continues to expand. Political junkie Ken Rudin's been following all these stories and joins us now. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Let us start with that magistrate bill. It's in response to same-sex marriages becoming legal in the state. Some magistrates have resigned. Of course, the law itself says that if magistrates have an objection, they have to abstain from all marriages. Lawmakers designed this bill to recuse them from performing those marriages. The governor had been critical, and he swiftly vetoed the bill. How unusual is that?
Well, it is unusual. I mean, given the fact that you have a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, usually they seem to be eye to eye, but nobody would ever accuse Governor McCrory and the Republican-led legislature being eye to eye since the governor was elected in 2012. Now, for the early part of his tenure, he basically either allowed things to happen, he wasn't as aggressive as he was, or he basically just let it go into effect without his signature. But he seems to be, I guess, with an election coming up next year, and it's going to be a tough election, most likely, he seems to be more assertive. And, you know, the way that this religious exemption bill, the way the response it got in states like Indiana and Arkansas, which was, it hurt their business, was so opposed to it, it embarrassed a lot of people around the country about what it said about the state. McCrory said, look, you know, I'm vetoing it. It's interesting. He vetoed it right after it was finally passed by the House.
It was a very quick veto, and again, the governor's been really concerned about encouraging other big businesses to locate in the state of North Carolina. This has always hurt. Being anti-gay measures have always hurt businesses when it comes to states that have imposed these. That's
right,
part of it.
Don't forget, McCrory came into office not as a Republican ideologue or a conservative ideologue, but as a pro-business moderate, you know, the mayor of Charlotte. He's always had these pro-business credentials, and the last thing he wants is to see the kind of boycotts that were threatened in states like Indiana and Arkansas.
So this is his fourth veto. It's a relatively low number, is it, compared to governors of other states?
Well, you know something, I mean, it's low, but of course you have a party in the same legislature. I mean, of the same party, President Obama, of course, had very few vetoes when it was a Democratic legislature, or at least when you had Harry Reid and the Democrats controlling the Senate. But now you're going to see more and more vetoes because it's the opposite party. It's kind of unique. It is unique in the fact that you have a governor and a legislature of the same party, and not only did he veto the stuff on same-sex marriage, but he's being pressured to veto, as you say, this abortion bill. And, you know, we saw the specter last week of the governor of Nebraska, Pete Ricketts, vetoing a bill that would abolish the death penalty, even though it's a Republican legislature. And not only did he veto it, but the Republican legislature overrode it. And so the question, of course, you know, it goes back to what's going to go on in North Carolina, whether the House and Senate, there are enough votes in the House and Senate to override McCrory's veto on same-sex marriage.
Senate seems pretty certain to override, not so certain in the House.
Yeah.
The previous speaker, Tom Tillis, used a tactic that he called the veto garage. Tell us about that.
Well, that basically, I mean, he Tillis decided that he would have called for the vote for a veto when it was convenient for his side. So he basically looked at who was on the floor at the time. If the bill's opponents were out of town, you know, in other words, if there's people who support McCrory's position and if they're out of town, basically you could make the case that Speaker Tim Moore can just call for that override depending on who's on the floor at the time. So
that's right, because the rule reads it has to be a supermajority of those present, not of those elected.
You need three-fifths of those who are present. So, of course, if there are supporters, opponents of the bill who are off the floor, you know, Moore can theoretically call for a quick override vote.
That's the magistrate exemption bill that has been vetoed. The Senate voted in favor of a measure to increase the waiting period for an abortion from 24 to 72 hours. That bill had some political maneuvering. Two provisions about statutory rape and domestic violence protective orders were added. They came from the Democratic side of the aisle, were added to this bill. So tell us about the political strategy behind that, Ken.
Well, I hate to use the word cynical, but it seems a little bit cynical because, first of all, there are only three states in the country that have a 72-hour waiting period for abortion. But I think there were Democratic measures that have been pushed around, supported and advocated for several years, and the Republicans added it to this bill. One was basically to make the language much tougher on sex offenders and rapists. So basically that's in the bill along with the 72-hour abortion waiting period. So you could almost make the case that if you vote against the bill, you're voting against tough penalties for rapists and sex offenders. And, of course, that's not what the Democrats had in mind, but few Democrats are going to vote for anything that extends waiting period for 72 hours. And I think the Republican leaders added that language to the bill just to maybe play a little politics. But, who ever heard of playing politics with a bill in the legislature?
No, it never happens. Only here in North Carolina. A conservative donor, let's talk about this. This is an interesting story. Conservative donor says that he's not going to give a $25,000 donation to the House Republicans as he had initially planned and announced. Businessman is the chair of the Civitas Institute. It's a conservative think tank in North Carolina. Name is Bob Luddy. It says very unhappy with the House budget proposal. Suddenly, the House finds itself, the legislature finds itself with an extra $400,000 in revenue, and they're going to spend it. They're not going to give it back in tax cuts. So Bob Luddy's pretty upset, and he's going to withhold his $25,000. Now, what does this say about the political scene here in North Carolina?
Well, it's so clear that the Republican legislature, at least the House, is so liberal. what Bob Luddy is doing is saying that because you're increasing spending in the House by 6.3%, well, that's much more. It's a giveaway to for special programs. It's extending tax credits for solar and renewable energy projects, and he's against that too. So this is basically a threat. Is Bob Luddy saying that, I think the legislature is too liberal, and therefore I'd be just as happy with a Democratic state house or a Democratic governor? Because basically when you push the legislature so far to the right and you have a governor who's trying to be a moderate, who's some kind of a moderate, who's trying to seek reelection next year, the last thing you theoretically want to do is to show even more of a split between the legislature and the governor. But people like Bob Luddy says the legislature is not conservative enough, and he said they're not calling for more and more tax cuts, even though it's my understanding is that the current law will automatically trigger reductions in tax rates. So tax cuts are coming, even though there were no specific tax cuts in the budget language. But it's just not enough. There are absolutists who said that there are certain things that they want, and if you don't play it my way, I'm not going to give you my $25,000. But we've seen that with other conservative groups. The Koch brothers and the Americans for Prosperity around the country are just putting tremendous pressure on Republicans to stay the course and not diverge from conservative principles.
Let's talk about a national piece of legislation that also has a North Carolina connection. The Patriot Act expires this weekend unless Congress acts. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr has proposed legislation to make three sections of the act permanent and increase the time for the NSA to move away from bulk call data collection. Ken, what's happening with the Patriot Act?
Well, nothing. And this is remarkable. This doesn't come as a shock to you, but the legislation expires on Monday, and the members of the Senate aren't coming back until Sunday. And they never wait for the last minute on anything, do they? But this is pretty remarkable because Mitch McConnell, who Senator Burr is closely tied with, Mitch McConnell usually has his things his way. He is one of these smart legislators who just know how to move the things around. But there was basically, I guess since the Edward Snowden revelations about what the NSA is up to, there is less of a fervor for the Patriot Act and the provisions in the Patriot Act in Congress than there used to be. So when the appeals court said that the NSA's actions on collecting bulk collection of phone records was illegal, the House said, okay, we're going to pass the USA Freedom Act, and they passed it overwhelmingly. That had a lot of reforms in it. But McConnell and Burr still think that, no, the Patriot Act is the right way to go. That, I mean, these provisions, had these provisions been there in the beginning, they wouldn't have been a 9/11. But these seem to be minority positions. It seems like the House is going to win out, because if they don't pass the USA Freedom Act, the alternative is let the whole thing expire. Of course, I'd be happy for Rand Paul would be very happy for that. But if it expires, you start from square one. And I don't think legislators, lawmakers want to do that anymore. So the deadline is Sunday night and or going into Monday, I think midnight Sunday. And, you know, right now there's no clear indication what's going to happen, but seems to be moving against what McConnell and Burr want.
Yeah, and you don't want to start from square one in this environment with the NSA revelations. Well, listen, I've got about 30 seconds left, and that's not enough time to even name all the GOP contenders for president.
No, but I do have time to name the people who are not running for president. I think we have more time for that.
A guy named Al in Colorado. That's it. The rest of the country all running as Republicans.
Exactly.
A big group. Hey, Possum news. I got to say this. In the legislature, there is news about live possum droppings in North Carolina.
First of all, yes, there's a law that says that government officials do not have to perform same-sex marriages with possums. No, there's basically a law. The Senate just passed this law that protects, that removes the protections for possums so they could drop them on New Year's Day, the tradition they've been doing in Brasstown in the mountains for years. And PETA and other pro-animal rights organizations say this is just embarrassing and cruel to animals. So that battle's still going on.
Ken has come to this. You're now talking about possum droppings in North Carolina. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, it's lunchtime. We'll take a look at culinary traditions of soul food with Adrian Miller on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.